Hello, everybody. If you can hear the sound of my voice, we're about to embark an adventure together. It's an adventure that I like to call Dave Wilson's part of Radio Liberty. Yes, Dr. Stan is still away. He'll be back on Friday as the Lord tarries. And until then, we've got two more great programs for you at this 4 o'clock hour here on the left coast of these United States of America. And because this program is live, of course, I have to remind you that the views expressed here are my views and those of my guests, and they could be your views as well, as you elect to call us at 888-245-4237. You might want to write those numbers down for use later on, 888-245-4237, or here in the Central California coast, 464-8295. That's in the 831 area code. And if you've got a question or a comment for our guest, you know, write it down, think one up, and give us a call later on when we open up the phone lines. I'm excited about this afternoon's guest because his books have had a profound influence on the way I think about a lot of different things. And we haven't talked to him since 1999. Gary, you know, the last time I talked to you was when the New World Religion came out. And ladies and gentlemen, here's Mr. Gary Kaa. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you doing, Dave?
I'm doing really well, and I can't tell you how glad I am that we're going to be able to get together and discuss a little bit about what's going on in the world today. Now, I'm not sure exactly what you're doing these days except consulting and so forth, but you had a fascinating history, and I know that you're a friend of Radio Liberty and have appeared often with Dr. Stan, but because there are new listeners being added every day, would you tell us just a little bit about your background and how you got to the position where you've written these two great books, En Route to Global Occupation and the newest, The New World Religion?
I first really became a student of global religious and political trends back during the 1980s when I was the Europe and Middle East Trade Specialist for the government of Indiana. I worked under then Indiana Lieutenant Governor John Mutz, and my travels took me to over 20 countries where I worked closely with U.S. Embassy personnel in the area of international trade promotion. And through my contacts at the embassies and also with various international business people, I soon became aware of the fact that there was a rather concerted effort underway to establish one world government. This is nothing new. It's been in motion for many years. Also, I became aware at that time that there was a push underway to try to bring the world's religions together into one collective whole. There are various interfaith New Age meetings being planned to make that happen. And so I wrote about all of these developments in my two books. En Route to Global Occupation was my first one. The second book dealt a bit more directly with the religious side of this, although it contains a lot of political developments in it as well, and it was called The New World Religion. And the main purpose of the second book was to warn especially Christians of things to come down the pike if things keep moving forward the way they are. I failed to mention that it did cost me my job when I took a stand on this.
From the state of Indiana?
Yes. I began speaking out as the opportunity became available. I did some talk shows, did a few speaking engagements in a limited form. And that went on for about 10 months, and then I was given an ultimatum to keep quiet or else I'd have to leave my job.
Wow.
And I think they probably didn't think I'd go so far to carry it through and actually leave my job over it, but that is what I did. And to get the lieutenant governor off the hook, it wasn't he that gave the ultimatum. It was the next person under him. And I never will know until heaven someday who actually gave the order, but I think it came down from higher up. And but I did want to clear his name because we had a very good relationship and always got along very well. But obviously someone in the administration didn't want me or anybody else talking about this and were willing to take a pretty drastic stand.
As Norman Dott has told Dr. Stan in that very famous video interview that he did, that the web of intrigue throughout the world is incredibly convoluted, and the Lord only knows, as you alluded to, who may or may not have sent such an order down to have you either quieted or they probably were hoping that you'd fail. And but I think the Lord gives us strength in our areas where we're doing as well, don't you?
Well, yeah, for sure. All I know is within 3 weeks I knew what I had to do, that I had to leave my job. I had one more trip planned overseas that was already in motion, so I went ahead and took that. When I came back, I submitted my letter of resignation, and I had a complete peace about it. I had no idea what would happen to my life now that I was stepping out, that I had a peace that I was doing the right thing, and that God would honor that. And we haven't had it easy since, but we have, again, had that sense of peace that only God can give, and that's worth everything. And when you have that, you're able to sacrifice and do certain things. You get an inner strength that the Lord gives you, that come what may, you're going to stand for what's right. And had I compromised on that at that point in time, who knows what else I would have gone on to do. You know, I mean, I had been invited to join some organizations that were actually pushing this kind of thing, and had become involved just to gather information. But I know of people who started going to meetings like that and actually got sucked into it and began supporting it rather than going against it. And
it's so easy when you seem to see the sway of things or this giant tsunami coming at you to just kind of buckle under. And that's a lot about Radio Liberty. We're trying to help people understand that God does enable us and he does strengthen us as we commit to doing the things that he wants us to do.
That's right. And it's important to remember to take things one step at a time and one day at a time. That's not to say that we don't have goals.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if I would have known what would have been coming down the pike the next 6 years when I left my job, human nature would have inclined me to want to jump ship. But by taking it one day at a time, you know, we got through it and the book came out.
Absolutely. I hope the book is doing well. I know we have them here at Radio Liberty, and I'm certainly going to be promoting that along with your website, which has some interesting stuff. And, of course, some of your essays appear on Barrett Chose's website. We had her on the program this past Monday. Right. A lot has happened since you and I talked back in 1999 when your book, The New World Religion, came out. And, Gary, that's what I'd like to talk about today. You wrote a great essay, I guess I'll call it, called America's Wake-Up Call. And I think you've really put in order much of what we'd like to see American Christianity think about and maybe even do. And as we come back from the break, we're going to start talking about that, if it's okay with you.
Absolutely.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, there are several books in the brand new Radio Liberty resource booklet that are absolutely essential for you to have if you're to understand what's going on. One of them, of course, En Route to Global Occupation by our guest this afternoon, Gary Kaw. And this is the kind of thing that will give you plenty of evidence that there is indeed a drive to create a one-world government, and this is real. You need to read the book to understand it. It's factual. It's footnoted. It has all kinds of fascinating stories and information in there. And the other book that Gary wrote, New World Religion, is the same thing as he alluded to. However, looking at the spiritual side of things, which seem to be moving faster and faster these days, almost prophetic that he wrote it at the time that he did. And then the third book, of course, that I like to promote as much as I possibly can here is Dr. Stan's latest book, The Brotherhood of Darkness. You can get any of these books. You can get a copy of the resource pack. You can get information about how to become a member of the Radio Liberty family of supporters, all by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 800-544-8927. And why don't you call them up after this program is over and order a copy of these books. We'll send them to you. They'll be very, very much worth your while if you sit down and read them. Dr. Stan's book is easily read in a couple of days, and they're not a lot of money, but they are certainly important. We'll be back in just a minute.
Our 4-tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination. a two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of the American president, and then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out, and if you listen to this four-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
Well, Gary, that first 10 minutes seems to go awfully fast, what with 3 minutes of commercial message and 5 minutes of news and all that other stuff, and now we can settle in for a good 12 or 13 minutes or so of a discussion. And I'd like to bring to the fore this essay that you've written, America's Wake-Up Call. Now, it's on your website, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And give us that URL, please.
Yeah, last time I checked, it was on the website.
Yeah, me too.
www.garykaah.org, and my name is spelled G-A-R-Y-K-A-H, garykaah.org. And before I say anything else, I needed to mention, because we found this out fairly recently, believe it or not, there is another Gary Kaah who spells his name the same way, and he lives somewhere out in California.
Really?
And on certain things, we're on opposite ends of the totem pole, and I don't think he has the same visibility on the Internet, but occasionally people will run across certain statements, and they'll contact me and say, why in the world did you say that? And it wasn't me.
Yeah.
So, yes, believe it or not.
Well, that could work for good, too. People who are looking for the radical kinds of things that he may be putting out are going to find you and get the straight word.
It could be.
You
it
know?
Could be. And then in January, we had an Islamic radical group hack into our website and totally destroy it. It took us about 6 weeks to get it back up and going, and we've taken some security precautions since then to hopefully avoid that from happening again. But so that's why I said last time I checked that article mm-hmm. was on our website.
Well, it was there yesterday. It was there yesterday. Yeah. We'll put it that way.
Okay.
Anyway, this article that apparently was written maybe what October or November of last year, almost a year old now.
Last week of September is when I wrote it, yeah.
Took into perspective the horror of the events of September 11th in New York and in the Pentagon and in Pennsylvania. And you said there, now America must respond, but how? And you've observed since then what the United States government has done and what the people of this country have done and are doing, and briefly, what do you think is going on in terms of the government just and the actions that they've taken since you wrote the essay?
Well, obviously, any legitimate effort to try to prosecute whoever is responsible for what happened, we should be supportive of, no question about that.
Mm-hmm.
But there are so many peripheral things that are being done that I really question. And some of the pieces that have been put in place and that are being put in place. For example, the TIPS program, which stands for the Terrorism Information and Prevention System. Very shortly here, if all of this goes through and appears that it will, you're going to have approximately one out of every 24 or 25 Americans in essence being a spy, spying on other fellow citizens.
Mm-hmm.
That's a higher percentage than what we saw during Communist Germany, for example, and through the secret police that existed there and in Russia. And, you know, I know we have to respond, but I would think that citizens on their own, if they see suspicious activity, are going to report it to the authorities.
Right.
But to put something official in place where people are actually on a payroll for different organizations who come into your home and are spying on what's going on, people working for utility companies or phone service or whatever, that to me, that's crossing the line. And if, even if we give President Bush the benefit of the doubt and say he's not going to do anything with it during his administration, well, what about the next president? You know, very rarely, once a bureaucracy is put in place, very rarely do lawmakers undo that bureaucracy. They usually build on it. And so my fear here is that because of this one terrorist incident, we're putting something in motion that down the road could potentially be used against the American people. And I think we have a real civil liberties argument here that we need to be, you know, on top of. And I personally, this is obviously just an opinion, but I feel very strongly that there's a good chance that sometime in the next 6 months or so, there's going to be a pretty big event happen in the world. It just seems that we're shaping up for it. Either we'll go into Iraq and invade, or Saddam's going to do something preemptively, or else there will be another round of terrorism, something maybe that we haven't expected. It just seems that the stage is being set for that.
I agree with you, and I think that it's going to come from the radical Islamic sects that are so horrific here in these United States, undercover, receiving aid and security from people who may or may not suspect them, just as they didn't in Florida. It's curious that you would bring up the fact that bureaucracies in place have to be dealt with, and that our next president would do something perhaps that this current president wouldn't do. I'm going to be just an unabashed promotion for tomorrow's program. We're going to be talking about the military that is in place now, that was put in place during the time of President Clinton. These guys are flag ranked now, 4 stars, 3 stars, and so forth. And many of them share the rather bad, if I may say so, ideals about what America's military ought to look like in terms of political correctness and all. And we're having a terrible time dealing with that now, case in point. And 8 years from now, we're going to be dealing with this TIPS program. And isn't it curious, Gary, how fast this stuff got laid down?
Well, it did. You know, Bush, during his administration, since 9/11, has gotten accomplished what Clinton probably never could have gotten accomplished during the whole 8 years that he was in office. And a lot of conservatives, they kind of look the other way because they like Bush, and they're not using their heads. And again, when you've got this kind of bureaucracy being put in place, you've got to ask smart questions like, what about down the road? Is this just for a time to deal with terrorism? Are there any time constraints on it? Will it expire, or is this something that's going to be permanently in place now? And if so, that shouldn't be the case.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, I'm convinced that if the president wouldn't push these programs, that ultimately you, as I know, that Satan is the one behind trying to get us to the point where there is a one-world government. And you have to believe that he would orchestrate or try to orchestrate some type of next wave of terrorism that would force our leaders to go along with certain measures, because the very purpose of this ultimately is to enslave the American people. And if terrorism can be used to accomplish that, to tighten the screws, to get the American people to go along with something that under normal circumstances we'd never go along with, then I believe that's what we can expect. And again, if you learn from history and look at how Satan has moved leaders in the past, from Adolf Hitler to Stalin, and how we've marched ever so gradually toward global government, I think we can learn from that and expect more of the same.
No doubt. The idea that militant and radical Islam has been unveiled now is certainly nothing new to anybody. There may be something else waiting in the wings, like you say, to come about. I know that Chuck Missler on this program about 3 years ago talked of an atomic event in the Middle East, which we hope does not happen, because that could unleash all kinds of hellacious fury in that area. And the whole idea, though, of all of these things coming together is what's so fascinating. Let's deal just, first of all, with the idea of this one world religion thing now, which has gotten a tremendous boost, whether or not people believe it or not. But we saw so much ecumenical movement. We saw so many interfaith things after 9/11. What's your comment on that?
Yeah, I mean, we responded completely in the wrong way as a whole. Really, from our president on down through the leadership, they attended interfaith ceremonies. The one at Yankee Stadium that was overseen by some of the leaders of New York had people there from, I believe it was 16 different religions, all of them praying from the platform and making various statements.
Mm-hmm.
And if we take the Bible seriously, then that would have had to gone up as a stench before the Lord, because
yes.
it's because of those kinds of things that judgment falls. And so if we thought we got any closer to God and his protection through those events, just the opposite would have taken place. And in one way, I know with the overall public sentiment, that almost sounds like something unreasonable to say, but it's not. I mean, if we're about the truth, then to respond by having Islamic leaders, in Washington D.C. at the church where the Bushes sponsored
right.
That meeting about 1 week after 9/11,
the National Cathedral.
Right, you had a top Islamic cleric that was there speaking from the platform as well, and it's not, Dave, that I believe that all Islamic people are terrorists. I honestly, while I disagree with them from a religious standpoint, I believe the majority of Islamic people are not terrorists. But still, it sets the stage and provides the platform for the terrorists to do what they have done. I mean, every one of the terrorists was Islamic, and that was no coincidence. And you've got a preponderance of the people in Saudi Arabia, in Syria, in Iraq, supporting these kinds of activities. Now, the media doesn't necessarily always let that come through, but if you look at independent polls of these people, or if you go to those countries and talk to the masses, many of them, if not a majority of them, while they like America's money and the fact that we're buying their oil, they despise us in many other ways and mm-hmm. would like to see America brought down, and especially because of the stance we've had regarding Israel over the years. And so there is a huge problem there, and if only 1 out of 1,000 of those people were willing to commit an act of terrorism, we'd have a monumental problem on our hands. And I think we can reasonably expect that at least 1 in 1,000 would be willing to commit some kind of terrorist act. And if you've got 6 to 8 million Muslims in this country, you know, you do the math on that,
yeah,
you end
it's
up
frightening.
With a lot of people.
It's absolutely frightening, and we're at the bottom of the hour. I've got to talk a little bit more about some of the things going on here. We're talking with Gary Kahn this afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, on the Wednesday's edition of Radio Liberty. I'm Dave Wilson. Dr. Stan will be back on Friday, refreshed, maybe bringing a bunch of fresh fish or something back. I don't know. Anyway, Gary's the author of En Route to Global Occupation and the New World Religion. Dr. Stan is the author of Brotherhood of Darkness, books that you can get by calling 1-800-544-8927. But there's another number that you can call as well, which will affect greatly what's going on here at Radio Liberty. And that is the number 1-866-448-5631. Now, I hope you wrote that down, because if you call that number, you'll be given the opportunity to switch your long-distance carrier over to Promise Vision. Now, I did it several months ago, and I'm extremely satisfied with the service I've received from them. You can get just about any kind of service that you want, and the exciting part about it is, of course, that a part of your long-distance service charges come right here to Radio Liberty to underwrite the cost of putting these programs on the air. And it's an absolutely painless way to show Dr. Stan and all the people up here your support of what's happening. So give some thought to calling 1-866-448-5631. That's 866-448-5631, and it's Promise Vision. Why don't you do it today?
Another of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And, of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen, or what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America. Our values, our future are under attack today.
Well, welcome everybody. We hope that you're enjoying this time with me, Dave Wilson, our guest, Gary Kaw, the author of some really fascinating and timely books, En Route to Global Occupation and The New World Religion, both of which are available from 800-544-8927. Now, Gary, as we've been talking here about the spiritual side of what's going on and perhaps this movement towards an interfaith sort of a one world religion conglomeration, God is not going to be happy about this, as you have indicated, because consistently throughout his word, the Bible, both in the Old and in the New Testament, his blessings have been received by those who obeyed his word. Isn't that true?
That's correct. And there are plenty of passages of Scripture in the New Testament as well regarding Jesus. John 14:6 that comes to mind that speaks of Jesus being the only way. It's through faith in him mm-hmm. that we have eternal salvation. And that's a very exclusive statement. But Jesus made that statement not only once, but repeatedly. And so we either have to believe that or accuse him of being a liar or a false god. I mean, that's what it boils down to. You're going to be on one side of the fence or another on that. And that's what ruffles a lot of feathers, and that's also why your interfaith, one-world globalists despise Christians, because we're the fly in the ointment. We're their problem. For some reason that they can't seem to grasp, they realize that we are the ones who don't go along with them on this interfaithism, because we keep insisting that Jesus is the only way. And a lot of these globalists, at least some of them, they mean very well. They believe the way to have world peace is by unifying the world's religions. And they're doing so for what they believe, I mean, they're promoting this agenda for what they believe are humanitarian reasons. Of course, you've got people involved from a much darker standpoint who are directly involved in Luciferianism and Satanism and so forth. But actually, probably a majority of the people I've spoken with in this movement are convinced they're doing the right thing.
But they don't hold to any religion more than likely themselves, don't they? Because isn't a religion a false kind of thing if you don't believe it's the one way?
That's right. That's exactly the case.
That's what seems so strange. You know, in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy 28, God speaks of the fact that the Israelites will enjoy God's blessings, and he'll take them away as soon as they slip away from that. And people say, well, we're in the New Testament now, but still we're dealing with an immovable God who demonstrates his characteristics in such a fashion. And I believe the United States is great and greatly blessed because it was established as a Christian nation, irregardless of what people say today about it. The men and women who came here were Christians, or in the very least had a specific worldview, a worldview which we have moved far, far away from. And in fact, I believe that God may be withdrawing his blessing from this country, and I have no idea what might happen. In your essay, you gave us some good ideas what conceivably could happen if God began to withdraw his blessing, and I believe that you agree with that premise, don't you, that he may be doing just that?
Well, I do believe that. Again, I believe God loves the people of this country very much and would like to see them repent. But if a nation doesn't repent, what you see historically, and perfect example with the nation Israel, is God begins to lift his hand of protection from that country. It's mm-hmm. not that he makes things necessarily happen, but he allows Satan to do things. He allows people to see what the end results of their sin bring about. And I'm convinced from studying history, there's never been a time that I have seen where a superpower has gone downhill morally more quickly than the United States has in the last 40 years or so. I mean, Rome, you know, it took a couple hundred years for its demise to come about. But with the United States, we're a different country today than we were 40 years ago.
Absolutely. I always say through the miracle of chemistry, you know, there's been so much change. I can remember as a kid in the 50s growing up over here in a place called San Mateo, California, where there was nothing open at all on a Sunday, except maybe a restaurant, Marquardt's Drive-In, I remember it on El Camino Real. And then one day, a huge thing happened the car wash and the little auto parts store that was associated with the car wash opened from 10 to 2 on Sunday. And it was an absolute stunning thing, and I can't even think of a word that would be better to use than that, throughout the community, and everybody was talking about it. And then look at today.
Yeah, back then you had a majority of the people going to church on Sunday. And you know, too, our kids sometimes evenings, they'll watch Leave It to Beaver.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this was a secular program, but most of the moral principles that come out through it today would even be rejected by most of the churches. I mean, we've moved so far off base. I made a statement not long ago to a friend that the average Christian of today, professing Christian of today, is less moral than the average non-Christian of, say, the 1950s. When you look at the movies that are taken in, the general lifestyle and principles that people operate by, and that's what needs to change, because this nation isn't going to change if Christians themselves, if we don't repent and get serious and say, you know, we've got to draw some lines here in the sand and not to look at the piece of wood in somebody else's eye. You know, we've got to start with our own lives and get them in order. And if we believe that God is going to restore a blessing on this country and make us strong in Him, believe me, it's not going to come about unless we repent from the top down. And I just don't see that happening. And I mean, it is among a very small percentage of people, but as a whole, our nation isn't going down that path. And that's why I'm concerned, because if we don't change our ways, I think our days are numbered, and one of two things is going to happen. If the United States has been designated by the globalists to basically take us into the one world government, we may have a bit of time left, but in a negative sense, only enough time to put the final pieces in place before the curtain comes down.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, you know, the United States over the last 40 years has put a lot of the pieces in place for the New World Order and has been used in a huge way by the New World Order crowd, because we were the country that was able to put these pieces into place technologically.
With technology and our valuable resources and the melting pot of people and all.
Yeah, and so we may be used for a time longer in that way. But if that is the case, once that's done, then we're expendable. And I think we could see a lot of the focus shift back to Europe as a result. And, you know, I was just over there. I was in Germany, France, and Switzerland in June. I was speaking in some churches, and I was amazed. We crossed from Germany over the Rhine River into France without any border stop, nothing. It was like going from Indiana to Ohio.
Really?
You would not have even known that you went into another country had it not been for a Welcome to France sign.
Hmm.
And all this has happened in the last few months, since January. And we were able to use the same currency, the euro, in Germany and in France. And make no mistake, Europe is coming on strong, even though their unemployment rate is high. They are unifying. And things that skeptics 10 years ago said will never happen have happened, and more of it will happen. And again, if God takes his protective covering off the United States and allows it to happen, you know, we could be nothing in a short period of time, and Americans on the whole have been a very optimistic people, even sometimes to the point of being arrogant, and sometimes we're so self-sufficient that we think, you know, nothing's going to stop us because we're America.
Right.
And that concerns me. I love my country, but we need to see repentance and people getting serious about the Lord in a very real way very quickly.
Exactly. We need to see it coming down from our churches in a way that's pointed, not in a way that educates our people how to pray so that they might obligate God to do some favor for them, which seems to be an awful
right.
lot of the social
yeah.
preaching that's going on. Say, while you were in Europe, now, did you, I'm sure you talked to a lot of folks, did you get a feeling that the old sovereign nation thing is no longer important to them? What about the language barriers and the, you know, well, the French have been fighting these guys since, you know, whenever, and we're not going to stop now, or is there a genuine kind of a camaraderie going on?
Well, the unity that exists before Germany and France, and between Germany and France, and that is growing, is almost unbelievable.
Hmm.
Even when I was over there working for the government 20 years ago, how far they've brought things in 20 years was absolutely unbelievable. Here are two countries that have had numerous wars with each other over the years, but they're acting more and more in unison with each other. And you've got right there approximately 150 million people between those two countries, or close to it, and a very high economic standard of living. Now, as far as languages go, a lot of Germans speak French. A growing number of French are speaking German. Many in both countries, at least of your younger generation, speak English.
Yes.
And really, England, there's a patriotic move over in England that maybe composes 10 to 15% of the population, that they're holding on strong to their national sovereignty. But more and more of the people that are in power are trying to push unity with the rest of Europe, including Blair. And I think it's just a matter of time, especially when they see, again, Germany and France sharing the same currency and the benefits that are going to come about through that from an economic standpoint. If England can't compete anymore, they're going to have to jump in as well. And so it's coming together. It is. And you give it another 5 or 10 years, and there's going to be a lot more unity there. It always starts with the economic side, and as unity is achieved there, then the political follows on the heels of that, and oftentimes too, more of a religious unity coming together as well.
Right, and the religious unity that's going to come about is essentially just some sort of secular philosophy or some new paganistic outlook on things. This postmodern world that we live in, of course, any ideas are okay as long as they're truth for you. That's just fine, right?
Well, there's a real strong relativism that exists over there, and especially through Greenpeace and those associated with the hyper-environmental movement over there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not one who thinks that we don't have any problems with the environment, because there are definitely some issues that need to be dealt with, but their consistent push is that we need world government to deal with these things.
Exactly.
And so people hopefully, can see through that. One thing I discovered while I was in Europe, this is quite interesting, I would say that in Western Europe, a majority of Bible-believing Christians actually are in Germany. In England, I'd say less than 1% are Bible-believing Christians. In Germany, it might be closer to 3%, depending what statistics you look at. But the hub for evangelical Christians in Europe today is in Germany, and that's where a lot of the battle is being fought. And that might surprise a lot of people. But many of your missionaries going overseas from Europe, Bible-believing Christians are coming out of Germany, and also a lot of the money being given to missions organizations. And I'm not saying that England isn't doing anything, but I was so appalled when I was in London. I came back just really depressed would be a fair word to use.
Mm-hmm.
In London, family life is virtually non-existent. You have so many kids now being reared by single-family homes, being passed back and forth between a mom and dad that were never married to begin with, that regular families are almost non-existent. And this was coming from leaders there in London sharing that with me, and then me also being witness to it firsthand. It's really catastrophic.
It seems to me, too, as we approach this break, that much of that's happening in the inner city here in the United States.
Yes, yes.
And is being promoted as being normal, or at least there doesn't seem to be any stigma attached to unwed motherhood or, sex outside of marriage, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, we're going to come back with the final 10 or 15 minutes with Gary Kaw just after this brief break, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to remind you that Radio Liberty is supported, frankly, by you. There are hundreds of you who have elected to become members of the Radio Liberty family of supporters, and you've called that number, 800-544-8927. You've pledged your support of $20 or more, and you've been receiving, hopefully, the 4 best tapes of the month and Dr. Stan's newsletter every month. What better deal could you have to get 4 tapes and his newsletter every month for simply $20. But I'd like to emphasize that if you really want to support this ministry, you call that number, 800-544-8927, and you pledge a larger amount, because then you know that you'll be helping getting the truth out all across America. We don't know where these programs go. Anybody could be listening. You give some prayerful support to what I've just said, and I pray that you'll join us. We'll be right back.
The Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and a few people have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Well, we're back. The last few minutes of this Radio Liberty program is underway. Our guest, Gary Kaw, has been illuminating us about what's really going on in the world today. And, Gary, one thing that I think people perhaps have had an inkling about but would like your perspective on is the fact that all of this stuff is being run somewhere, and I think people do have meetings and they are energized to move society as a whole towards a global governance. Tell us a little bit about this quote, or these quote, secret societies, unquote, and maybe some of the people like Gorbachev and others who are members of these things manipulating us.
All right, and first, before I forget, I wanted to let people know that to keep them up to date on some of these things, the kind of information I have spoken of in my books. We do publish a regular research newsletter.
Oh, good.
And if people would like to get that, it's $35 for a year, and you can order it by dialing 317-290-HOPE. That's 317-290-4673. And that information, again, is also on my website at garykaw.org. You know, we've spoken on past programs with Dr. Stan about Freemasonry, and it's a much misunderstood subject, I think, because it's easy to come to certain conclusions. And what you have in your secret societies, especially in Freemasonry, is you have a relatively small percentage of people in the higher levels that are supportive of this whole New World Order concept. In fact, the term New World Order has been used in Freemasonry for hundreds of years. If you read its history books, which I have copies of many of them, you will find that out. In fact, the term the New Age has been used in Freemasonry for many years. In fact, the magazine of the Scottish Rite, the Southern Jurisdiction of the Scottish Rite until the mid-80s was called New Age Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And even astrology and things like that permeate throughout the history of Freemasonry. But the average Mason of today does not know that. When you come up through the degrees, although you should know better than to take that kind of oath because of what Jesus said. He said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything beyond that comes from the evil one. Nevertheless, a lot of people overlooking that don't take it seriously. They're maybe used to college fraternities, and this is just another step into something that's kind of a bit mystical and alluring to them, and they have no idea what they're really ultimately getting into. And with a lot of people, it's a family thing. Their grandpa might have been in it, or their father, and so they think, well, if they were in it, it must not be bad, so I'll join it too. And so a lot of people, well-meaning people, people that aren't quote-unquote bad people, join and take these oaths and don't realize what they're helping to support. And that's what we have to be careful with, because Satan almost always comes as an angel of light. And he's not going to make something deliberately look bad if he thinks you're not going to join it because of that. He's going to make it look as good as possible. What more of a deception than an organization that publicly is known for supporting children's hospitals and doing all these good works, which they do.
Right.
But then privately, you look at what goes on at the higher levels, and you look at quotes from Albert Pike in the late 1800s, who was the leader of Freemasonry for many years, and he describes acts of terrorism that would happen in the distant future after two world wars that would finally usher in the New World Order. wrote about that back in the 1860s and 1870s. And I have quotes from him in my book, In Roots of Global Occupation. I reproduce some of those in the essay that we've been discussing here. And from Freemasonry and through its influence, you have had a strong influence come out of that going into the creation of the Federal Reserve System. And many of the same people that were involved in getting the Federal Reserve established were involved in founding the Council on Foreign Relations, which had a huge influence on founding the United Nations. And one example in particular, an organization called Lucifer Publishing Company, founded in 1922, which 2 years later changed its name to Lucis Trust. It still exists. It had a huge influence on the leadership of the Council on Foreign Relations during that time, who was responsible in founding the United Nations. And that same organization, 2 years ago, was distributing their literature at a United Nations meeting that was opened by Kofi Annan. The reason I know, I had a friend who was directly there. This is firsthand direct information. He witnessed this. Lucis Trust passing out copies of their Great Invocation Prayer, which I don't have time to go into all right now, but these influences, these luciferic influences, go right into the UN even today, and most people are totally unaware of it. And if you do talk about it, unless you back it up with documentation, people think you're nuts because it just sounds so bizarre. And what I did do in my second book, In the New World Religion, we actually reproduced over 50 pages of exhibits on the letterheads. These are letters on the letterheads of these actual organizations that we're talking about, including Lucis Trust, to show that they are in existence, they actually are doing these things today. So there's a huge network of organizations pushing this, a movement, if you will, of organizations. And ultimately, I have to contend, it's masterminded by Satan himself. It's not a conspiracy of one organization controlling the whole thing, which would be virtually impossible to do, but it is a number of organizations, hundreds of organizations, networking together, some of them run by well-intentioned people, but moving us down the wrong path toward this new world order.
Anytime that a nation moves away from the spiritual basis upon which it was founded, they're going to find themselves in trouble. The Bible clearly says in Hosea 4:6 that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And that's so important for people to understand, because in this information age, unfortunately, the information that the populace receives is the kind that is involved on their TV, and the television, in my belief anyway, is so liberal that it doesn't give any truth whatsoever. And yet there is something that's happened to many people here in this country that they don't seem to care anymore. As long as they have their remote and their six-pack, they're content. They're working so hard to pay their taxes. They don't have any family life, as you alluded to, which is a huge wave of dissent coming up now. All these things are moving towards something that's easy to see if you have the knowledge that is an understanding of God's Word. And that's what's so exciting about being a Christian these days, don't you think, if that's a good word to use, is that you can see all the stuff coming together, and it gives you impetus to go out and witness for the Lord.
That's right. If you do take the Bible seriously, and of course, prophecy is a significant part of Scripture that can't be overlooked. And Jesus and the disciples, as well as Paul, warned us about the times that would come immediately prior to the return of Jesus Christ, so that Christians alive during that time would not be caught off guard. And man, it sure seems like a lot of what was said and written by the Lord and by the disciples and Paul apply today in a major way, and I do believe that the things are moving forward quickly, and we could very well be the generation that sees all these things coming together. And while a lot of these developments are negative, and we were warned against them in that way, that they are negative, that we should not participate in them, the main reason for us having those passages of Scripture, I believe, is so that we could recognize the times we are living in, and to speed up our activity for the Lord. But instead, so many people are doing just the opposite. We're in such a pleasure-seeking mode today in our society that if people can't have certain pleasures, you know, forget it. I mean, gone are the days where people were committed to a cause and were willing to do what was right no matter what. Today, a typical Christian will miss one out of every 3 weeks in church. So there are very few dependable, Sunday school teachers, for example, whereas 40 years ago, you had people with perfect attendance records, or they might miss two or three Sundays out of the year for vacation, but they were there the rest of the time. So if you're a pastor, a Bible-believing pastor of a church today, you've got your hands full just running that church, trying to get people to do what they're supposed to be doing because of a lack of commitment.
And a lot of them, unfortunately, are saddled with a huge budget, particularly in the large churches. Many pastors have to worry whether the income is going to come in to satisfy the large staff that a congregation of 2,000 or 3,000 people demands,
right,
to service, if you will. And there's no commitment, it doesn't seem, anymore on the part of the church population. And unfortunately, that's reflected often in the staff, too. We don't see true pastors much anymore in large churches, to my way of thinking anyway. We see them moving around from place to place on occasion every 7 to 10 years or something like that. And I'm looking for and yearning for, as an example, the kind of pastor that Chuck Smith was or is, continues today,
right,
Vernon McGee and some of these other people who committed themselves to the people's lives,
yeah,
and were content for that. Well, we've got 30 seconds. If you will, please, say what's on your heart about that for bring it in.
Time we have left.
Yeah, bring it into the show for me here.
Yeah, people do need to be relatively informed and have an idea of what's going on because of how deceptive our times are. But their main focus needs to be on the Lord. We need to be in the Word, and when you combine our knowledge with Scripture with things that are happening around us and current events, it allows us to put two and two together and have discernment, which is so needed today. And if we have that, and we're working and walking with the Lord each day, then, you know, we're going to be all right. We may go through difficult times, but spiritually speaking, God's going to shield us and protect our souls from the deceptions that lie ahead.
Amen, and I appreciate you. I appreciate the work that you do. Have you got a new book coming out by any chance?
Well, maybe down the road a ways.
But okay.
Right now we're focusing on getting our message out overseas. I just got back from India, where they translated one of my books into one of the native languages over there. And so we're really doing a lot of work overseas, and I'd appreciate people's prayers on that.
Absolutely. We remind them about that all the time. We're hoping that your books that we have here are going to be selling regularly and getting the word out. Gary, thanks so much for taking an hour out of your time this afternoon to talk to us. Lord's richest blessings on you and your family. Until then, we'll talk to you later, okay?
Thank you, Dave.
Bye-bye.
God bless you.
Well, Gary Kaw, and a fascinating interview that was. Once again, the fastest hour in talk radio. It's always a pleasure for me to be able to talk to people like that because they do have such an important insight onto what's going on. I want to remind you, of course, to seriously consider becoming a member of the Radio Liberty family of supporters by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Pledging your support, it means so much to Dr. Stan and me, too, to see that there are lots of you out there who say, yes, we agree with what's going on and we want to help. So give serious prayerful thought to that. 1-800-544-8927. And keep me at the top of your prayer list for tomorrow's program with BK Atkinson. We'll be talking about the military. Until then, as the Lord tarries for me, God bless you, and see you tomorrow, everybody.